the idea that your emotional reaction, so like somebody sins against you and your first reaction doesn't have to be sin against, like sin in response. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, your first reaction can actually be like Jesus. Just, that's, like, that makes me feel a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. That as I continue to walk with Jesus, it's going to get better and better. All right. Yeah, so first one, the emotional reactions of a healthy person help them live the Christian life. Second one, the emotional reactions instinctively work correctly. Okay. Michael Scanlon describes this situation as having the peace of Jesus. The peace of Jesus Christ is a distinct gift from the Lord, which has many signs: rejoicing, unselfishness, prayer, watchfulness, and all the fruit of the Spirit. That's fascinating. So anything that disturbs your peace is an indication of a deeper problem within me. Not the situation that disturbed my peace, but within me. All right. The third one. So second one, people whose emotional reactions instinctively work correctly. Third one, people whose emotional reactions, okay, healthy persons, number three. I feel like I just need a whiteboard. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I need my whiteboard. Write it out. People whose emotional reactions are subordinate to right responses. Emotional reactions are not supposed to run our lives. They're meant to support right responses, to be servants of righteousness and love. And that means that our emotions should be subordinated to the scriptural truth of our new nature in Christ. Yeah, anyway. So here's, and so then he goes on in the rest of the chapter, as you will see, to say that when our emotional reactions are a wreck, that reveals to us that we need inner healing. When our emotional reactions are something happens and it immediately triggers irrational fear. Why is this happening? What are my present beliefs? What's my internal orientation that's out of whack that's causing this reaction? That is, because fear will erode love, right? Fear will always erode love. So our present internal state our emotional reactions reveal a lot about our present internal state, and the internal state being a damaged heart from a memory, and it could be a bunch of lies that got in through that place. And now those lies are our operating system. So we're relating to the world through that filter. And that filter then is interpreting, it's telling us what's going to happen again. It's going to happen like it happened last time. Or whatever it is. So when we experience healing, peace becomes the norm. And our emotional reactions to new situations cause us to be stronger at love and hope and joy. All right, so that's your little... A little teaser for the book. So let's pray, and then I'll talk about what I actually intended to talk about tonight, okay? Holy Spirit, we thank you. Yeah, that was all intro. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, God. I ask for your presence to lead me as I talk tonight, and lead us in our conversation and in our prayer time. And we thank you for the testimonies of the last week, God. We thank you. We pray you bless the lady who's face had the issue. We thank you, God, for continued healing for Gail. We thank you, God, for, I forget the name of the lady, that Rachel. And thank you, God, for Katie's continued healing. We give you praise for that. That's all you, Jesus. Thanks for Adam saying the words, but it was you, Jesus, who did it. And we continue to say our yes to more and more health. God, thanks for the way you relate well to Brian, and you teach him how to walk with you as your son. God, keep leading us forward and making us healthier and healthier. And each one of us here has our issues that we'd rather not talk about and rather not even deal with. And Holy Spirit, we're asking for light and love and grace, that we would be willing to face whatever the thing is that is the next step for us moving forward with you. We don't have to face the whole thing today. We don't have to tackle everything. But you want us to keep moving forward. So, Holy Spirit, give us the grace, the courage to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the agenda for the night was supposed to be a simple method of prayer, and I was supposed to interview Stanley but I don't really have questions. Really, I didn't really prep any questions. So we can just talk. We can just talk at the end. Maybe I'll make up some questions. But I put in the schedule I was supposed to teach a simple prayer method. And here's the problem. I've seen a number of different prayer methods. And the first one that I encountered is Randy Clark's. And it's like a 5-step prayer model that starts with the interview. Hi, how are you? What's your name? What seems to be the issue? When did the issue start happening? And all that kind of stuff. And then the prayer selection. You know, you figure out, well, based on what they've said, what kind of prayer is helpful? Is this going to be a leading them in a prayer of repentance? Is this going to be an inner healing situation? Is this a simple word of command because it's just a simple physical thing? Or, you know, and then the actual prayer practice, and then the post-prayer instructions, and if I missed one, listening to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's kind of a major one. But I've heard Randy's thing, which is really built off of Wimber's thing, because Wimber was a generation before them. And I like what Randy's doing. But Randy's takes an hour. Randy's method and John Wimber's method takes about an hour. They both encourage you to soak, which is awesome. But you don't always have an hour.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
You know what I'm saying? You don't always have an hour.
Right.
Adam last week taught us a very simple method of prayer.
Yes.
Don't ask a single question. Who cares? That was hilarious.
That was very helpful.
But it's not the method to pray for the sick, is it?
No.
It's a very helpful method to pray for the sick in public.
Yeah.
Or if it's just a physical condition that has no deeper underlying rooted issues that don't budge. So here, I mean, since we're here, Adam basically said, who in the room has pain? And Kate was one of the ones who said, I got pain. And he said, don't tell me what it is, just tell me what the number is. And she said, right now it's at this number. And then he just said, all right, we're going to pray. In Jesus' name, pain leave. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now check yourself. It was that he just repeated over and over. And if he didn't make progress, he moved. Okay, well, let's separate out your various symptoms and let's tackle them one at a time. And major movement in just, what, 7 little bursts of 10-second prayer or maybe 5-second prayer.
Yeah.
And he never asked a question. He didn't do the interview. He didn't do the prayer selection method. He didn't do the, let's come, Holy Spirit, listen to what you're saying. He didn't do an hour of soaking with you and speaking in tongues quietly to just let his spirit percolate. He didn't do post-prayer follow-up to tell you how to stay free. He didn't do all the stuff in the book. But guess what? It doesn't matter because he loves Jesus and he's walking by faith. And this stuff isn't in here. In that same way. Hey, she found it.
Finally found you. Oh, you would not believe how many times I went up and down this road.
Well,
you're way in the...
You're right on time.
Oh, yeah.
You are right on time. Yeah, we literally just started.
No, you
well,
didn't.
That's not quite true.
No, don't lie.
Well, it's not really a lie. I'm still in the first paragraph of the actual teaching.
Oh, good.
The rest of his testimonies and another kind of conversation. Okay, so we got these various methods, right? Adam's method, very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. You have a question?
I think your lights are on.
Don't go off.
Oh, okay.
It's one of them.
Okay.
And she's right. Even if it's not designed, the battery eventually will. That's how it happens in my van when the kids go rooting around in there and turn the dumb light on. So this is fantastic method. The 5-step prayer model in here, very fantastic. If you want to go deep, if you want to give people, and it's awesome to give people a full hour of your time. I don't know if you've ever had somebody just take time and let the presence soak. And just let the Lord speak, not be so pushy with our agendas. But I love this book, and I love the prayer method. And I love Randy Clark's. I have a bunch of his stuff, been to a bunch of his seminars. So, so helpful. Has some pitfalls, though, doesn't it? Can't do it in a supermarket. You can do what Adam taught us in a supermarket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, very simple, just coming and letting your faith be bigger, your faith in Jesus be bigger than whatever the problem is. Don't even need to know the problem. Don't want to know the problem because I don't want the problem to, you know, be like Peter walking on water. He can do it as long as he's looking at Jesus. But when he starts looking at the waves, he goes, oh, crap! Now he can't do it. And so Adam was saying, don't tell me, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm going to look at Jesus and command the pain to go because it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like I always use this, like it's the rock and the spaceship, you know, Luke on Dagobah, they're not heavier for God. One, the little rock and the huge spaceship weigh the same to the Lord, right? Creating a world, healing a headache, healing cancer, it's all the same to Jesus. It's not the same to me, which makes my faith shrivel up, and which means the grace has no landing pad to make it work. Does that make sense? So Adam's method is very, very good in terms of, like the seminary teacher who didn't have money for gas, so instead of, he just taped over his gas gauge so his car wouldn't run out of gas.
Oh, Lord.
As long as he can't see it, he has faith for it to keep running. But if he saw that thing on empty, it'd freak him out, and he would pull over, he'd sputter out. Ran for a month that way. So that's Adam's prayer method. Keep it simple, keep it short, command the body to be healed in Jesus' name, and if I have faith for it, it's going to move. Now here's where I find that that method might have some weaknesses. That method is better in public. That method is not better when the issue involves the will of the person. If the underlying cause is more than physical, or if the underlying cause is spiritual and it's a lifestyle thing or something they've agreed that has allowed evil in as a demonic attack, then you can get it out in a minute, but they might be welcoming it back on Thursday. And let's pretend that we didn't pray on Thursday. On Friday. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Adam's method, awesome. Perfect for out and about. Perfect for something that's merely physical, that has no basis in like their lifestyle choices or lack of inner health or lack of or some sort of affliction of spirits, right? So that's when this kind of stuff becomes a little bit more useful. Long-term pastoral care means we're going to be using Adam's method, but we're also going to be using like the deeper methods too. Now, is it really deeper? Not really. But we're whole systems, right? We're bodies, we're mind, will, and emotions, and we're spirits. Body, soul, and spirit. And so if the problem's just the body, that's the easiest to deal with. In fact, according to a lot of people, it's easier to heal the body than it is to heal the soul. Fascinating. And I think a whole... So there's the 20-second method. Boom. In Jesus' name, be healed. I command your pain to leave. You can do that with demons too, by the way. But yeah, might want to find out why they came and arm the person with their authority in Christ so that they don't come back and that they know they have the authority and that they know that they let it in. It was their choice to let it in. Anyway... Then there's the long term. So there's the 10-second version. Then there's the 1-hour version, which would be more like what this book's about. And then there's the 10-year version, where you walk with each other for the long haul. And do you know what I mean? And so it's like I'm supposed to be talking about a simple prayer method I gave you. Like there's the 5-step prayer model, right? And then there's the 1-step prayer model of Adam: be healed in Jesus' name. I love that. Let's add that to our toolkit because fantastic. And I especially loved how clear he was on the role of faith. Mm-hmm. If the word is true, then what's stopping the word from having power in my life? My faith.
Yep.
Because faith in God's word is what grace, which is God's electrical energy, is looking for. God's electrical energy is looking for some sort of lightning rod so it can touch down and power God's will on earth. And like he said to us last week, he was saying... We pretend we have higher levels of faith than we do. Because faith is not just an inner feeling of certainty, it's borne out by your life. Like I just read today about Abraham, God made him the promise. And then, so the next verse says, and so Abraham left his family, and as God said. And I'm like, it was his taking action that proved he believed, right? If he'd have said he believed, or had a good feeling about it, but then stayed at home... It would have proved that it didn't have real faith, right? It was just a mood that he was in. That was a good sermon, brother. Yes, Lord, not obey. Okay, well, your life reveals what you really believe, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Then I started thinking about, like, what do I have to say about this method? And I go, my method's actually some sort of... It's simpler than the 5-step and maybe slightly more complicated than Adam's. It's more like a 3-step. Yeah, and the 3 steps are, hey, can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? And that's pretty much it. That's fairly simple, right? And the reason, see, it's valid to say, how can I pray for you? It's also valid to say, don't tell me, don't tell me. I don't want it to mess with my faith. So is it okay that there's not a right way to do things?
Yep.
Is that all right with you guys?
Mm-hmm. I think it changes from moment to moment.
And it changes from situation to situation.
Right. It does.
Yeah.
And it changes because here's what I was noticing. I sat in the chair for 45 hours with people where they talked about their lives and their hurts and their sins and their fears. And somebody was like, wow, you're so patient. And I thought, huh. So what I hear you saying is you wouldn't enjoy this. Adam would hate that. He'd go out of his mind, sitting there for 45 minutes listening to people who are sad that somebody didn't treat them right when they were a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Adam's not designed to carry that part of the healing journey, I don't think.
Right.
And I am. He's there to walk out into the public and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Now get out of my face. I got to go see my kids. Do you know what I mean? And it's not because he doesn't love people. It's that would bore him to tears. And it doesn't bore me to tears. I feel like I'm not trying to be insulting to Adam. Like, I know him and I love him. He's a different bird than me. He's like exploding with apostolic enthusiasm. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to pray for people in public too. It's not like, but I just, yeah. There's different people, and we carry different graces for healing. Yeah, and I almost want to just talk tonight instead of about the model, a little bit of the process that I tend to follow when people are sitting in the chair, and I'm like, okay, we can get some inner healing. And I really like how John didn't just call inner healing. Y'all, you know the phrase inner healing, right? You heard that 1,000 times in your whole life. I really liked how this guy called it healing the effects of past hurts. Because what happened is we got hurt, and now, as a consequence, we're not the same. We're not as we should be. And I feel like just by doing it, I've learned enough stuff that I said this year I could almost write a book about this, but I realized like I would want about 3, 4, or 5 more years of experience before I'd feel like, yeah, it's time to write the book. But there's just some stuff I've learned by sitting there with people for...
You learn by doing.
120 different people or so that I've done at the Reach, in the Reach program, sitting there and unpacking their stuff and walking them through a healing process. And so the two things that I'm always working with the inner... Is it okay if we switch gears from...
Yeah.
Sure.
A simple method... We got 3 methods on the table, don't we? Mm-hmm. The 1-step method about be healed in Jesus' name. The 3-step method of Tim, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. How can I pray for you? Do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? I think physical touch matters. I'm not even sure why. And another secret one is, do you mind if I keep praying in tongues a little bit? Because some people do. But that's not, I don't include that in the method. Somebody asked me, like, why do you pray in tongues all the time when you're praying for people, Tim? And I said, I didn't really know I was doing it. And they were like, well, you are doing it, and you're doing it loudly, and kind of want to know why, because you're the only one in the room doing it. And I'm like, well, then.
I guess it's a difference in you, in when you're praying in tongues and when you're not. I don't know why, but I can, like, a different feeling in the
yeah. Atmosphere. Well, I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because it activates my spirit, and it helps me hear better.
There are people out there that have this... because the Bible says it in one spot, where...
1 Corinthians. Yeah.
That where if you're someone speaking in tongues, there has to be somebody in the room that
has
the interpretation.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not always true.
Right, okay, so...
Prayer language
I'm not
different.
Praying as loud as I normally talk for your hearing. I'm praying in tongues quietly to the Lord and, quote, to myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I was praying out loud, very loud, for you to hear... I would assume, I would agree with that passage is an application now, that it should be interpreted so it becomes a prophecy. But I digress. That came to my attention recently. Somebody came to me and said, why do you always pray in tongues like that? while stuff's going on, and I said, well, I really didn't think about it much. And he's like, the one guy came to me, he's like, you were singing in tongues over me. And I'm like, oh, cool, neat. He's like, you were singing a lullaby over me. It was the Father. And I'm like, oh, that's neat, okay. I said, well, it felt right. It felt good, you know.
Sometimes, like, I don't know if this has been your experience, but there have been times in my experiences where I've been praying, and I'll start praying just normal, and it's like the Spirit takes over sometimes, and the tongues start to come.
Yeah.
And then it's like the Lord will give you interpretation of things that's going on.
Right.
With a person. I mean, that's been my experience.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I do remember, John Wimber said in the book, and I didn't think this was a rule, but I remember he said it. He said, I pray in tongues quietly to shift the atmosphere and put my heart in place of worship and to bring the presence into the room and so I can hear. It helps me get in touch better. And he said, you know, I've never met anyone that had a successful miracle ministry who didn't pray in tongues, but that doesn't mean you have to pray in tongues to have to see healing happen. It does not mean that. He just noticed a correlation. I also heard a prophet back in the day say, I never met a prophet that didn't dance. And I said, now that's funny. I would love to see a room full of people who are like, I'm a prophet. And I'd be like, prove it! And then it's a dance-off. It's like a breakdancing competition with prophets. Everyone's got all these rug burns. And, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Like, then the 80-year-old overweight guy with the cane comes in, and he like spins and flips and does backflips and everything. And you're like, that's impossible. Anyway, aren't you glad that was weird? So anyway, here's my agenda when it comes to healing the inner person. There's experiencing the comfort of the Lord at the place of our woundedness. That's imperative. It's imperative. It's imperative to experience the presence and comfort of the Lord at that place of our wound. I'm going to repeat that a couple more times, okay? Here's a reason why. It's imperative that we experience the presence and comfort of the Lord in the place of our wound. What I mean is the memory. Now, the reason I say that is because the memory is too painful to face and heal otherwise. Comfort for the wound, either extending or receiving forgiveness, and then replacing the lie with truth. Those are the three movements when I pray for inner healing for people. And what's weird is the lie will lead us to the wound, and then the wound will tell us just about what to do next. This all sounds like theory, doesn't it? It sounds very like vague and unclear.
I think I'm lost for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how the lie leads you to the wound.
It does. The lie leads you to the wound. The wound is where we then invite Jesus to come, and he does. Once he does, and once they experience comfort, and we exchange our pain for what he wants to give us next, then you're ready to forgive or receive forgiveness. And usually by that time, you're wrecked enough and encounter Jesus in reality enough that you can go back to the original lie that we started with, and he will obliterate it with implanting a truth. Because what's going on is our present beliefs are what's driving our lives. Our present beliefs are what's driving our lives. So the only reason I'm interested in going back to the past, to heal the past, has nothing to do with my concern for, oh, that must have really been bad for you. No, I'm concerned with us getting to your present belief and repairing it, lining it up with truth. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned is, you just saying mind over matter isn't doing that. But if I'll follow the way you're wired, the way the Lord built you to work, if I'll honor the way you're designed to operate, and I'll follow this path that I've described, letting the lie lead me back to the wound, inviting his comfort and presence into the... We're about to try to get there. I'm going to ask for a volunteer in a moment. If we'll follow that process, what I found is it's massively transformative. And it gets people, you say, oh man, that takes an hour, are you kidding me? That takes 20 minutes, are you kidding me? That's so slow. And I'm like, you know what's slow is wasting the next 20 years of your life. Because you didn't realize that you're believing lies, and you have unhealed hurts that are driving you in life. That's a waste of time right there. Not the hour in the chair. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so... I'm calming down. I'm just dialing down.
I'm going to use the restroom.
You're going to use the restroom.
Okay.
You're
going to have a little sozo in the restroom.
Yeah.
Is there anyone who would feel comfortable being the recipient of prayer like I just described tonight? There's no pressure.
I don't have a problem with it, but if someone else does, it doesn't.
What do you ask? Can you say that again real quick? Right quick.
What I'm asking is for someone to be vulnerable enough with the group for me to put into practice and demonstrate exactly what I just described, which was so confusing.
Is that the inner healing?
Yes. And for some of us, that's not terrifying at all.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Sadie.
I lived with you long enough to figure out what you were thinking.
Well, Katie has a yes. Is that right?
Yeah, as long as, I mean, I'm not like, it has to be me. I just said if no one else.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not saying you really want to.
I'm okay with being vulnerable, is what I'm saying.
And are you saying you really don't want to, or you really do want to?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure, because that's a touchy subject for
me. I feel like maybe you and I can talk later.
Because
sometimes when stuff comes up, it's like, it's big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's kind of private.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So for most of these sessions that I do, out of reach, it's a different experience because they live together, they worship together, they work together, they serve together, they go on outreach
together.
And it's a different kind of a thing. If we lived together, I think no matter what the issue is, we would be able to say, oh, you too. And what I figured out with the chairs is so many of us have been sexually abused. So many of us have committed sexual sin. Guys and gals both nowadays have porn addiction. People have violence in their histories. They have greed, pride.
Anxieties
like crazy, fears, trauma, post-traumatic. Car accidents, traumas, lost friends, loved ones, children, grief, slow grief process, caring for aging, sick, loved ones, you name it, it's normal. And it affects us, you know. There was I can't tell the details, but this stuff's really, people tend to think if others knew this about me, what would they think? And what I love about that environment, which is a cultivated environment with people who have committed to each other and Jesus, is that a huge portion of the healing happens just by virtue of being seen and accepted and loved. Does that make sense? It's like somebody can be up there and be like, here are my sins. Or, this happened to me. Or, this terrifies me and I wish it didn't. Or, I have so much pride in my life and I hate it. And then the group doesn't go, gross. Never, never, never once. The group goes, yeah. And a lot of the time the group goes, me too. And we repent right with them. One guy was repenting of pride. And while he was praying his prayer, repenting of pride, I was over here in my chair going, I didn't even see that in my life until he confessed it. And when he confessed it, I go, oh, gross, me too. And I was right there with him. And I thanked him. I was like, dude, you're leading us. Or was it a gal? I can't even remember now. See, I don't even, you know. But let's see, chair-wise, I want to sit right next to you. So.
I was like, no one else volunteered? okay.
It's okay. So just so we're clear, this environment is a, whatever happens next, you're not allowed to talk about it. Unless Katie says you're allowed to talk about it. Because I don't know what's going to happen, but this is sacred space. This is holy ground. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, and by the way, this part won't go online.
Okay.
Unless nothing very deeply personal happens, then it's totally acceptable and you tell me to. So, God, we thank you so much.
So, at this point in the evening, we had our prayer time with the person who was there, and the Lord brought a lie to the surface, and we asked where that lie was learned, who taught that. Some names came up. Then we asked when. The Lord took us back to some very painful memories. There were tears shed. The Lord's presence came. Jesus showed up in the memories, which reframed those situations with truth, the truth of what was really going on in the spiritual realm. God showed where he really was and what he was really doing, and he spoke truth and comfort into that thing. Pain was exchanged to Jesus. Lots of tears shed on that. The Holy Spirit's presence just whooshed into the environment. Forgiveness was extended. Release happened. Then truth was brought to bear. I mean, it was just a beautiful evening. Then the second situation, actually went up to heaven, saw a deceased loved one, the kind of stuff that Catholics don't even shudder with. They go, yeah, of course, that's true. But Protestants go, I don't know about all that. And then we got to partner with some things, and it was fantastic and beautiful. And I think for the group, they had no idea it was going to be that intense. They didn't know that they were going to go on the journey with the person in the chair. I don't think they expected the presence of God to come so heavy and speak so clearly. And yeah, God is just amazing. God is amazing. And I have learned that as we give him opportunity, we throw the door of our heart open, he goes to the root, whether we wanted to go there or not. That's where he wants to go. He wants to go all the way to the deep places, and he wants to bring light to the dark places, and he wants to replace lies with truth. It was a fantastic evening. I can't tell you about it because it was private and personal. But suffice to say, God showed up and showed himself loving and good and true. Awesome. Good stuff.